A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The good news according to John.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Alleluia is everywhere today.
Amen.
Jesus is risen. And I hope that means for us a call to transformation, or the Greek metanoia. Easter is not so much about what you believe, what theology, what dogma. It is more about being fundamentally transformed in your mind and heart. So in this way, it is perhaps a high holy day that many can celebrate, understanding its meaning of transformation and finding this day as a source of spiritual inspiration. I use the Greek metanoia to remind us that there is a deep history to the concept of transformation. In the world of Jesus and the Gospels, so many, many years ago in the first century, in the Greek and Jewish world, the philosopher Philo even tells us that metanoia is an awakening of the true self, which is oneness with God. The true self is not subject to life and death. It is eternal in God. Metanoia is what Jesus and the Gospels talk about, calling us to embrace this fundamental change. To wrap all the scriptural references into one, Jesus, in the first chapter of Matthew, says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near. Metanoiate, and believe in the good news." You know the English word that is translated for metanoiate? It is repent. And my friends, there's the rub. The command to repent, or, as we've been saying, to be fundamentally transformed in your mind and heart, have very different connotations, don't they? We don't just pull the idea of repentance from sin out of a vacuum. In the Hebrew scriptures, Job says, "Repent of evil. I despise myself and repent in the dust." Isaiah says, "Repent of your sins." Jeremiah says, "Repent of your wickedness." I could go on, but I'm sure of one thing. You don't need me to harp on the idea of sin and repentance. You betcha. While that may certainly be the approach for some, not here, and not in today's Easter sermon. But we do need a little bit of a transition, so give me a moment. We must also say that the New Testament world didn't just turn the page and start fresh with transformation of mind and heart, without remnants of that Hebrew world. For instance, as our New Testament accounts begin, John the Baptist came preaching a baptism for repentance for the forgiveness of sin, right? Later, Luke will famously say that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, metanoia-ing, than over 99 righteous who have no need. So this is where we get the idea that metanoia is about a transaction of repenting from our sins. As I said before, I won't go on. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's Easter, our highest holy day. It's about resurrection, a true metanoia as a fundamental oneness with God and eternity. Let's turn the page. Richard Rohr, the priest many have come to love, says that the resurrection was really about the dawning of a new consciousness, the birth of a new humanity. And this is the most important part, I believe. Rohr says, it is the mystical act of achieving oneness with that which is eternal. Is this mystical experience beyond the reach of ordinary people? Rohr says that the Easter experience was real and powerful. It transformed disciples. There's that word again, transformed. Peter, who fled before the crucifixion, became a powerful witness, calling many to give their lives to the way that was early Christianity. Easter, whatever it was to the eyewitnesses, was a life-changing truth. Read the Acts of the Apostles and the second letter of Peter, for instance. What was the resurrection? Well, none of us was there, but it could certainly be. Judging from the life-altering power of it, that in Jesus, all limits were broken. As Rohr says, in the resurrection, the single physical body of Jesus moved beyond all limits of space and time into a new notion of physicality and light, which includes all of us in its embodiment. The reason this is so important is because the mystical act of achieving oneness with that which is eternal is not a far-fetched or fringe idea. A good place to start is physicality and light. First, let's go back to the focus on light, which we've heard so much in our recent past days. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, Debbie preached so beautifully on the theme of light. Catherine Cruz read an excerpt from the writing of Thomas Merton as follows. Then it was as if I, Thomas Merton, suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths of their hearts, where neither sin, nor desire, nor self-knowledge can reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time, there would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. At the center of our being is a point or spark. It is like a pure diamond, blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It is in everybody. And if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. Merton describes the metanoia that we are called to pursue, a fundamental transformation of mind and heart, becoming one with God. There are other ways to talk about this metanoia other than Christian ways. I will look very briefly at three ways: poetically, then the Eastern paths, and the sacred stillness presented by Eckhart Tolle. Maybe there will be something in these approaches that gives you an insight into your own metanoia. Poetically, the very first of these three approaches to metanoia is just one line, Walt Whitman. All goes onward and upward, nothing collapses, and to die is different than anyone supposed, and luckier. The Eastern paths. The word Buddha means to be enlightened. To develop the Buddha nature means to live and walk as an enlightened one. Zen Buddhism seeks to help the lights come on. Seeing is the goal, but it comes in the most uncommon or even the most common ways. Sometimes it is a story, a swift kick, a poem, a thunderstorm, a chance conversation, any of a thousand ways that may trigger the insight. When it occurs, it is like a key opening a lock. Also in Eastern religions, Hindus, for instance, believe that the Great Spirit and the human spirit are one. We are at our deepest sparks from the eternal fire. Another face of oneness with the eternal says that all rivers flow to the ocean. We are at best drops, which rightfully merge with the ocean of being. Consider this. The Hebrew belief in the essential unity of religions is seen in the favored figure of the large tree, with its deep roots in the soil and its widely extended branches. The branches are all the religions. The tree draws from the rich soil of human experience. It is nourished by the sun, wind, and rain of the divine spirit. So at the deepest level, we are all nourished by the same source. Finally, perhaps the clearest of all teachings on oneness with the eternal comes from Eckhart Tolle. He writes, "At the very depths of your being is the sacred. We're here to deepen our awareness of its presence. The sacred is something that shines through form. Being an enlightened being means being truly present." That gives you just a tiny taste of what it may mean to gain a oneness with God, being fundamentally changed in mind and heart. To quote the late Deacon Mike Ascalisi on his prayer card, He wrote, "We are on that long inward road, that inward road that will make us touch Christ who dwells within us. And we make our pilgrimage not only as individuals, but also journey together in the LBC journey to understanding, in our weekly worship, in our fellowship, in our giving and offerings, in our acts of social justice, and countless other ways. We bring Easter into the reality of our lives. May this be a high holy day of truer and deeper metanoia." Amen.
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 Please share your reflections.